听力课堂，听 class.com。
Joshua Bell, Poet of the Strings.
I love making music, and I do it for myself. When you listen to someone who truly believes in every note, the way they play, in an honest way, it feels real. And not to play for effect or because you've heard it this way in a recording or because it's provocative or because for any other reason, it has to be feel like it's coming from you in a way that it's the only way that you could play it. An artist has to really be able to get up in front of 2,000 people or how many people and really expose themselves, their emotions, their soul. That's one thing I am able to do.As a child, I was very, very shy, talking to people. I would, you know, hide behind my mother's leg, you know, if I were meeting a new person. I was very shy. But always when I put the violin under my chin, I felt completely free to expose myself. And I think that's something you have to do. That was an amazing experience playing, in Central Park. We had, I don't know how many people, 75,000 people. Playing for that many people, that was the closest thing I've had to being a rock star. I was involved in this project for really 3 years total, from the beginning as a consultant, and then on the film as a body double, and then, of course, doing the score. And it ended with the film getting an Oscar for the best original score for John Corleone, which is very exciting. The story of the film, it really follows a violin through all its owners and stories and adventures, in a way, you might say, the sort of magical violin. Growing up here in Bloomington, Gingold's name was around since I was a little kid. He was a celebrity, really, a very famous old man that people came from around the world to study with, and he agreed to teach me, and that was the big turning point in my life. He was an incredible man, first of all. He was so full of life and joy. I met him when I was 12, and he was already 70. So it's an interesting connection between a 70-year-old and a 12-year-old once a week, you know, in this little room. Something I feel so fortunate to have those moments where he just lived music, lived the violin, and this rubbed off on me, this joy for making music. He taught me not to ever treat anything in music cheaply, and never let, you know, a note go by uncared for in music, you know. And so those sort of values I keep with me today, and I still hear his sound in my ear, and that's amazing.
At about 2.5 years old, he would stretch rubber bands from knob to knob on a dresser that had 9 drawers, and stretch them and pull the drawers out at different tension levels, and then he would pluck out melodies that he learned in school and or that he heard, and just little things like Mary Had a Little Lamb or Happy Birthday or something like that.
We just found out 19 years ago, whenever we met half his life ago, that somehow we clicked musically. He sort of wants me to be tough on him anyway, so I am. Just because, yeah, that's the way he wants it, and that's the way we get the best results. Of course, he's tough on me, too. And he's somebody I kind of, even if he's not there, I'm sort of arguing with him in my head about musical things. And I think probably the same is true the other way. And we're both very nervous when the other one is sitting in the audience and we're playing. And we tell each other pretty much exactly what we think of each concert. But it's good. Challenges us both to keep up our standards.
It scares me a little bit that I'm so nomadic, that I just enjoy being everywhere, and I get restless when I'm in one place. I like the variety and seeing new friends and new people every week, and I'm afraid I'm a little bit addicted to it.